blessing, aren't they? Amen. Appreciate the preaching word through the song. It ministers to my heart in a very special way. I want to say thank you again. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to be here with you. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. And I don't know if I'm going home, so I may be here next week with you as well. But I like the church family, so I kind of fit right in here, I think. I just feel comfortable with y'all. And that's Connecticut, y'all. And I am encouraged and thankful for this church. Again, as I said last night with your pastor, you should be very grateful for the man of God that God has given to you here. And, you know, for your 6 years, I congratulate you. But this is just the beginning, really. Of your ministry here. There's so much more the Lord wants to do and will do with you and through you in this community. I had my hair cut the other day at your pastor's barbershop there and met them, a couple of brothers, big guys, not quite as big as Brother Patterson, but close, and just great guys. Invited them to come to church, and they know this church, and they know your pastor. They love your pastor, and were just commenting to me about, boy, that church is really growing. And I told them, I says, well, you haven't seen anything yet because God's got plans for this ministry here. And so stay with the stuff, finish what you started, and accomplish what God wants to accomplish through this ministry here. There's a whole bunch of folks in this area that need to hear the gospel, that need to hear what you have to tell them about Jesus Christ. So, you know, don't get weary in well-doing. Stay in the fight and stay in the battle, and don't get discouraged. You know, you're going to see lots of things happen. You know, over the years, that's just life. You know, it's human nature. Problems come, problems go, but the Lord's still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, so keep your eyes on Him. Don't be looking at each other, because if you look at each other, you look at the preacher, you look at the preacher's wife, you look at the preacher's kids, you look at the, you know, the teachers, the deacons, the doormen, doesn't matter who it is, somebody's going to let you down. When people come to our church and they join our church, and, you know, I always, you know, deal with them beforehand and talk to them about our church, what our ministry is all about. Let them read our constitution. Let them ask any questions they want. I tell them, come for a while. You know, don't just come and, you know, a lot of folks just want to join the church still as soon as they come. I said, no, just hang around. You need to get to know us, and we need to get to know you and see if this is a fit. You know, the church is not for everybody. You know, there's other places maybe you fit in. And I always tell them that. But if this is where God wants you, we want you here. If God doesn't want you here, we don't want you here. We want you to be right in the middle of God's will. You know, not just that we want to have numbers. We want to have God's perfect will done with our ministry as well. So I always pray with them beforehand. And I always tell them this. I said, look, I'm only human. I'm flesh just like you are, and I'm going to say something, I'm going to do something that's going to disappoint you, or I'm going to say something or do something that'll make you mad. And no doubt you will do something or say something that'll make me upset. So let's just agree now when we come together that when that happens, we're just going to walk closer to the Lord and forgive one another and love one another and just do what's right, you know, by the Lord. So get your eyes on men, because men will fail you. But the Lord will never fail. He'll never let you down. So it has been a pleasure to be here, and I'm thankful, you know, again, for just the opportunity, the privilege. I don't know if I'll be flying out Monday or not, because it's going to be snow here and snow in Connecticut, because what's coming here is going there, so we're going to catch it on both ends. So I may see you Wednesday, I don't know, you know, at midweek service. You're looking at a guy that when I came here I was quite skinny. But, you know, eating Todd's food and his wife preparing food, look at me. Look what's happened to me in just 2 short days. I've doubled in size. But, you know, we were singing the first song, When My Role Is Called Up Yonder. And I said, yeah, when my role is called up yonder, I'll be there, you know. So I'm telling you right now, it's just the way it is. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of Ezekiel, that great book. Ezekiel chapter 47. I have my own glasses tonight. Where's that lady that I borrowed her glasses last night? She's in the nursery. She didn't want to come in here again. I volunteer for the nursery. I understand that. You know. I'll try to be a little bit shorter tonight, but I can't promise you that. Usually when I tell our church I'm going to be brief, they laugh. because they know whenever I say that, it's going to be long. So I'm going to try not to do that. But Ezekiel chapter 47, if you would stand together with me out of respect for the Word of God. Thank God for the old King James Bible. Amen. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse number 1. 47:1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even unto En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I'd ask you, Lord, tonight to help us here in this place to hear from you. Lord, there's nothing I can do or say that would accomplish anything here tonight in the spiritual realm. Lord, I know they didn't come to have their ears tickled. Lord, they came to hear from you. And Lord, I ask you to help me to get out of the way. May the Holy Spirit of God just move in this place, stand in every pew and stand behind every man and woman and child and speak to their hearts and minister to them in a very unique and special way to each of them. And Lord, we thank you in advance for the privilege to be in church on a Saturday night to open up your word. Lord, it's a blessing. And Father, again, we ask that if there's anyone here tonight that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that tonight would be the night they get that settled. Lord, that they could leave this place tonight with the peace of God that passeth understanding, knowing that their soul has been redeemed and they're on their way to heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about these waters here that are issuing out of the sanctuary. And as you look at this text and you notice some things in here, and I'm going to kind of make the introduction a little bit brief here tonight so we can really spend time in this. But if you notice in verse number 1 here, the location given is the door of the house. Of course, Jesus Christ is the door. Amen. And if you're going to get saved tonight, you're going to have to go through Jesus Christ. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. So you must trust Christ as your Savior. And, of course, this location of this dwelling place of God here, it says in verse number 2 there, verse number 12 as well, it talks about his sanctuary. verse number 1, what issues out of the threshold here? It says waters issue out of the threshold. So these are waters, and they're issuing out of the east side. Here it says of the house on the right side, so it must be he's a Republican, right? You're supposed to laugh there, okay? Of the house of the sanctuary of God. Now, waters are very important in Scripture, and you can understand, you know, I'm sure that you've heard this and read this and seen this in your Scripture. It's a picture of the Word of God. It's a picture of your Bible that you have in your lap there right now. By the way, you ought to thank God that you have a Bible. I saw a video. Here goes a bunny trail number one. I saw a video here just a little while ago, some folks in China, in mainland China, that received some Bibles, and they were videotaping these people getting their Bible, first Bible they've ever owned or seen, that was going to be theirs. Instead of sharing a Bible with a house church, they had their own. And they, when they were given those Bibles, they were crying. They were hugging them to their chest and just weeping and so grateful to have the Word of God. And yet probably every one of us in this room has two or three Bibles minimum in our home that we have available to us. So you ought to thank God for the Word of God. But the waters here represent oftentimes in Scripture the Word of God. You know, Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Ephesians chapter 5 says that, talking about the church, that he might sanctify it and wash it by washing of the word, washing the church by the word of God. So there's, you know, John chapter 15, there, I think it's verse 3, talks about you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. So the word of God, the water of the word, is a cleansing agent. And so you notice here that Ezekiel is brought through these waters at intervals of 1,000 cubits. He takes them out 1,000 cubits, and the waters were ankle deep. He takes them out another 1,000 cubits, that's 2,000 cubits, and the waters were to the knees. He takes them out another 1,000 cubits there, and it's up to the loins, to the waist area. And then it says that the waters, he takes them out another 1,000, and the waters are deep waters, waters to swim in. So I wanted to look at that here tonight and talk about those four areas, and then we'll conclude with the end of the passage of Scripture here and make some practical points here with this is the progress of the Word in your life and how deep into the Word of God you are. Are you into the Word of God to your ankles? Are you into the Word of God to your knees? Are you into the Word of God up to your loins? Are you swimming in the Word of God? And I want you to think about that a little bit here tonight. The first one we see here is he takes them out those first 1,000 cubits, about 1,500 feet out. That's 1,000 cubits. And Ezekiel was brought there that far, and the waters are to the ankles. Now, when you stop and think about the ankles, I have always had very weak ankles, as a child, you know, I couldn't ice skate. I couldn't do the ice skating. I just weak ankles, couldn't support myself, and they just kind of wobble. But if you understand that you have 206 bones in your body, and when you stop and realize of all the bones that you have in your body, 52 of those bones are in your feet, counting both your feet. Now, that's 25% of all the bone structure of your skeletal structure that are in your feet. So you stop and realize about the ankles. Now, me having weak ankles, my ankles are easily twisted. You will be the same way. If you find yourself, you just kind of, a few years back, I went off the edge of the front step of my house, and I went just off like that and twisted my ankle, and it was like fire all the way up to my knee. I mean, burning. And I didn't know what I did. And, of course, being a man, I just kind of said, okay, I'll be all right. I'm going to be burping through this whole message with the food that came. I'm telling you. I don't know how they sang. I was watching you, bro. You were just struggling to breathe up here singing. And I'm kind of doing the same thing here. Amen. I never eat before I preach, but thank you, Brother Todd. Amen. That was a real blessing. But I went off the edge like that, and I had, you know, I went on for 6 months just dealing with that. I finally had to have surgery, and they cut me up from the other side of my ankle and up. I tore all these ligaments and tendons in there, and they had to tie everything all up again because of that. Well, ankles are easily affected. They're easily injured. And so if you're into the Word of God, don't misunderstand me, but if you're a new Christian, this is where you ought to be. But if you're easily, offended, if you're easily hurt, you're into the water of God's Word, maybe only up to your ankles, you need to get out a little bit deeper. And so you need to understand, as a Christian, You're supposed to be growing. You're supposed to be progressing in your relationship with the Lord, and you're getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you. And that's where the change comes in your life. And the Christian who is only ankle deep, they're probably only familiar with some of the basic things of the Word of God. You may know about Adam and Eve, and you may know about Noah and the Ark, and you may know about Daniel in the lion's den. You may know some of those things in the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, David and Goliath, those kinds of things. You're aware of those things, and you've heard maybe those from Sunday school. You've heard those from the pulpit. And so you're into the Word of God just ankle deep, and you're learning some things, and you're growing, and it's okay to be there, into that depth of water of the Word. But you shouldn't stay there. The problem is a lot of times Christians, they get only so deep into the Word, and they never go any further. And they never progress in the knowledge of the Word of God. And if you don't get into the Bible, you're never going to know the God of the Bible. You're never going to understand. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you've got to get into the Bible, and I've got to get into the Bible. And oftentimes, ankle-deep Christians, they really don't spend a lot of time in the Bible. And as a result of that, ankle-deep Christians are usually Sunday morning-only type Christians. Or if it's snowing, they won't come. Just thought I'd throw that out. I'll be here tomorrow. Will you be here tomorrow? I had a preacher friend who sent a little text to me, and he said, it's amazing to me how I was at church in Connecticut, and he was in New York, actually. He's in New York. And he says, you know, the snow was coming down, and he says there was, you know, very minimal attendance at church, but he said, I was there, and I preached. And he says, we had one person visited, and they got saved. He says, I went out afterwards, and he says, I drove to, I forget the name of the restaurant he went to, and he says, and there were people there in the restaurant eating, you know, and everybody. And it's amazing how Christians have, you know, taken the easy road out. Say, well, it's snowing, well, it's raining, so I won't go to church and I'll stay home. It's too dangerous. But yet the next day, if they have to go to work, they'll go to work. Or if they have to go out to get something to eat, they'll go out and get something to eat. He said the paramedics, the doctors, they're on call. If your wife was pregnant and the water broke, you'd do everything. You'd go through the storm to get her to the hospital. But it's amazing, he said. And that's true. And he was kind of rough in what he said, but it's the truth. We've gotten kind of mushy as Christians these days. You know, we need to toughen up, you know, and realize that, you know what, it's not as bad as we make it out to be. When I was a lost man, we used to go out in storms like this and do donuts in parking lots because nobody was there. We just go out and have fun, you know, do things in the snow. So I want you to turn, keep your finger here, put something in Ezekiel 47 and go over to the book of Acts. And go to the book of Acts chapter 3 for just a moment. And let me show you a good illustration here of what I'm talking about, of where you might be if you're an ankle-deep Christian. In Acts chapter 3, look with me, if you would, at verse number 1 here. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb, notice that, lame from his mother's womb, from birth, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he's begging for money to be able to take care of his needs. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice that, circle that. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet, notice, and ankle bones received strength. What happens? And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So here you see here this, what has happened to this individual, this lame man who was born lame and who's been doing this. But notice when he met the Lord, when this relationship began, what happens? He stands up. He walks. You can't run a race as a new Christian. You can walk, though. You can walk the Christian life, and you can begin to do some things as a Christian. Stands up, he walks, and he praises God, and then he notices he is a testimony unto those people who knew what he was beforehand, but now see a different man. Something's happened to this guy, and they go, what happened to him? They're amazed. They're looking at him with amazement and wonder because they know this is the guy that sat out that beautiful gate all the time. So the ankle is something that is easily twisted, something that's easily offended, easily hurt, and it can cause you to limp. It can cause you to be halt. It can cause you to fall down. It can cause, when you hurt your ankle, when I hurt my ankle, I started throwing out my knee and then my hip and my back. Because you're walking differently, you're favoring that, and it throws out everything in your skeleton all the way up. And that's what happens to us. Ankle-deep Christians oftentimes are the most vulnerable state of the Christian life, because they're just newly saved, or they are only into the Word of God so far, they've only grown so far in their relationship with the Word, and their relationship with the God of the Word, and their relationship with other Christians, and they are easily offended, they're easily twisted, they're easily hurt because of the tenderness of where they are at their age. Now, if you've been saved for just a year or so, you're probably an ankle-deep Christian, and that's not a bad place for you to be. But if you've been saved for 5 or 10 years and you're still only into the Word of God up to your ankles, that's immaturity. You need to grow. You need to not be content with being only an ankle-deep Christian. You need to say, you know what, I need to go a little bit further in my relationship with the Lord. So this stage of growth as a Christian into the Word of God up to your ankles, you will be easily offended by other Christians. You'll be easily offended. The preacher will say something that will just make you mad, make you upset. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the Word of God helps you to get out of that offense stage. That shallow stage where you're kind of just walking in the shallow water along the river up to your ankles, and you're just kind of knowing some of the basics of Christianity. You're not getting in very deep into the Word of God. You understand where I'm going with this? Look at John chapter 6. Just go backward a little bit to the front of your Bible there, to John chapter 6, and look at verse number 59. Of course, he's talking here in John chapter 6 about him being the bread of life. And, of course, you know the story, so we don't need to go into detail there. But notice verse 59, John 6, verse 59. It says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, these are not outsiders, these are followers, disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Talking about eating his flesh? What? That's tough to digest there. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? He offended, ankle deep. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what he's saying is, talking about eating his flesh, that's spiritual truth there. You know, he's the door. He doesn't have hinges and doorknob. Here he's talking about he's the bread of life. He's not talking about eating him physically. This is not cannibalism. He says, this is spirit. I'm teaching you a spiritual truth. It's kind of like Nicodemus in chapter 3. What are you talking about? Enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born again. What? See, we think physical all the time. God's giving spiritual truth. He says in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except that were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Easily offended, ankle deep. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, here's my answer for you from God as well. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. So here you see this ankle-deep Christian who's easily offended, hears something from the Word of God. I don't know if I buy that. I don't know if I believe that. Preacher talks about tithing or giving to missions or this or that. I don't know about that. You know, all he ever talks about is money. We get offended easily, by a lot of things. So the ankle deep Christian, the strength in your ankles will help you to stand up. That guy in Acts chapter 4, he was lame. Once he got strength in his ankles, the first thing he could do is stand up. There's a difference in you after you get saved. There's a difference that the world will see in your life as a new Christian. Something's different about you, ma'am. Something's different about you, sir. What is that? Your coworkers, your family members are going to see something's happened to you. So the first thing you notice here is, go back to Ezekiel, and notice here the first thing, he takes him out 1,000 cubits, and he goes out there, that 1,000 cubits, and the waters are to the ankles. Now, notice in verse number 4, he takes him out another 1,000 cubits, and the ankles now are covered, and now the waters are to the knees. Now, the ankles help you to stand, as I already said, but the knees, the second stage of Christianity, getting into the water of God's Word will give you some stability, and it will also give you some flexibility as a Christian. It will help you to be stable. Getting into the waters of the knees will help you to absorb some of the shock of Christian life. Some of the shock of Christian life, to be able to withstand that. Your knees are like shock absorbers. I won't do this. At one time I would do this, and I would demonstrate things, but I'm not going to demonstrate anything because I will twist my ankle or I will hurt my knee. But, you stand up there, when you jump off of someplace, when you land, what do you do? Your knees absorb that shock, right? They bend, and if they don't, you're in trouble, right? You're going to go see the knee doctor and get a replacement. But they help you. When you're going to jump, you bend your knees, and then you jump and propel yourself, and you get higher. So the knees are giving you, when you talk about shock absorbers, in your car, I notice you have a lot of potholes around here. Yeah. Well, there's road in between the potholes. That's what I noticed. But, when you hit a pothole, that shock absorber is supposed to absorb that shock, right? Now, if those shocks are not good, you're going to find your car is what? Unstable. When you hit something with a bad shock, your car is going to go kind of crazy, and you're going to have to fight to get that thing to keep it out of going into the ditch because of that, getting jarred like that. So when you jump, they help to absorb that shock. They help to propel you upward, and they help to, give you that ability to absorb some of the problems of the Christian life that you and I will run into as Christians. The person, the Christian who's into the Word of God up to their ankles, they are easily offended by the things of people, by the hypocrites in the church, by the problems that go on in life. But the person who's into the Word of God up to their knees, into that Bible a little more to the next level in their spiritual maturity, have grown beyond that easily offended stage. And now you have the ability to absorb a little bit more shock. You're into the Word of God a little bit more, and you're absorbing some of the shock that happens in Christianity. Certainly, the person who's into the Word of God up to their knees is doing better than the person that is into the water of God's Word only up to their ankles. But unless you start thinking, well, I must be okay. I'm into the water of God's Word. I up to my knees. Well, there's still more of you out of the water than's in the water. So don't get all puffy and say, I'm better than the ankle deep Christian, because there's more of me. I'm in the Bible more than they are. And you start to get haughty and think that you're pretty special. Yeah, you probably know a little bit more Bible, and you maybe got a little bit more faithfulness in your life in some areas. Maybe the ankle deep goes to church Sunday morning. Now maybe you're a Sunday night guy too. And you might even come back Wednesday night, and you might even show up for the special meeting. And that's good. That's a growth in the Word of God. Go back here and look with me again, if you would, in Ezekiel chapter 47. And it says there in verse number 4 that he took him out, he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, were now to the loins. So the ankles help you to be able to stand. The knees getting there gives you some stability in your walk with the Lord. Getting into the Word of God, up to your loins gives you some strength. See, your loins, this upper thighs here and your buttocks, all those big muscles that are all in this area, that gives you strength. You know, it talks about gird up thy loins like a man. Pull, you know, get that robe up and so you can do some work. You free up your loins. That's the strong part. That's where the strength comes in your body, through those bigger muscles. And when you lift things, what do they tell you to do? Keep your back straight. What are you lifting with? You're lifting with these big muscles. You stand, you lift with them. You say, oh, I'm lifting with my arms. But it's your legs that's helping you to lift that. So there's strength that comes when you're into the water of God's Word up to your loins. So the application. Maybe some of you have come to the place in your life now where you're now being strengthened by the Word of God. You don't run to the preacher. You don't run to some other brother and say, hey, I got this problem. What do I do now? See, you're in the Word to be strengthened. You know where to go. You get into the Bible and you say, God, I need something from you. And you go to God. You don't go to man. You go to the Lord. There's a growth process that has taken place in your life. So now you're being strengthened by the Word of God in your life. You go to the verses. You don't run to man. You can carry on for God. You can claim the promises of God's Word. You know where they are. When you're having a problem in a certain area, you know where the verses are to run to, and you read them, and it helps you, and it encourages you, and it strengthens you, because you know where to go. So if you're into the Word of God up to your waist, if you're in there to the loins, you're in it. You're in it. You know where to get the strength from. But for those of you, again, who are into the Word of God, up to your loins and run to the Bible to strengthen them, to help them, to encourage them. Now the fourth thing, look with me if you would again, in Ezekiel chapter 47, look at verse number 5. Afterward he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters, and underline this here, to swim in. So the ankle, being into the Word of God up to the ankles, gives you the ability to stand as a Christian. Getting into the Word of God up to your knees gives you some stability in your life. Getting into the loins water depth will give you some strength. Here, now you have waters to swim in. This is someone who is saturated by the Word of God. They're not just kind of dabbling around in the shallows. They are swimming in the Word of God. Now, you say, what's the principle of that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? You're talking about Psalm chapter 1, who walks in the Word of God, who is strengthened by the Word of God. When they get into the Bible, they begin to prosper, they begin to grow, they begin to do things for God, because the Word of God has saturated their life. Mark this down somewhere in your brain. This guy is committed. This individual who's involved in the Word of God all the way, they are committed to what they are involved in with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this person here in verse number 5 is totally saturated by the Word of God. They are committed to God in their life. They're not just trusting any strength. They're trusting in the strength of not their flesh, but the strength of the water to hold them up. I remember being a kid, didn't know how to swim. I was probably 5, 6 years of age. We'd go down to Sodus Bay. My parents would go down with my uncle because he rented this cottage down there. And we'd go down to this cottage and my dad and mom, my brother, my sister, we'd go down there and spend a few days with them at that cottage as a child. And we'd go out in front of the cottage. The place was called the Shack. It was an old duck fisherman's or duck shooting place, you know, hunter's place. And we'd go out in front of that shack there, and the water was only like this deep. And I remember having a Howdy Doody. How many remember Howdy Doody? Thank you. Howdy Doody, this little flotation device, you know, this life preserver type of thing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? And so I had this Howdy Doody thing, and I was in this, and this girl across the street who came with us, Joni Leader, she was in hers, and we were out there just kind of goofing around. And my brother's swimming around in this water. And so I decided I'm going to get out of this thing, and I'm going to start swimming. And so my parents are sitting there. They're watching us as we're in the water, playing in the water. And I'm in the water, probably only, it's only that deep. And I'm in there, and I'm walking along the bottom, but I'm pretending that I'm swimming. And I said, look, Mom, look, Dad, I'm swimming. And they said, that's great, Tommy. Do you realize they knew I wasn't swimming? Do you realize they knew by looking at me that I was walking along the bottom, and I was just kind of doing this and pretending that I was swimming? You know, a lot of Christians are doing that. they kind of look, they want everybody to think they're swimming in the Word, and look how spiritual I am, but they're actually walking on the bottom. Do you realize when you do that, everybody knows it? They know you're not really committed to it, but you're trying to get that point across to them, that maybe you are more committed than you'd like them to think you really are. So you're just pretending to swim in the water of God's Word. It doesn't help you any. If you notice here, he's in these waters to swim in. Well, that tells you that the waters themselves are holding him up. That's a fearful place to be. When you first get into the water and you're in over your head, and you're gonna thrash and say, and you work in your flesh and try to keep yourself afloat, keep your head above water, because you really don't know how to swim yet, and you're just struggling, and you start to tread water. And you're trying to keep yourself up, and where's the bottom? And you're hoping, well, maybe right there. And you push yourself back up again off the bottom. And you're pretending to swim. You're pretending. But listen, once you are committed to the Word of God, you can trust the Word of God. You can trust what God says in His Word to hold you up. That's a place of commitment. That's a place where you say, you know what? I can't do this in my flesh. I can't work this ability to keep myself and my head above water. I'm just going to completely trust what God says. That's commitment. So ankle-deep Christians here, thank God for you if that's where you are as a child of God. You're into the Word of God, maybe just beginning to grow in your Christian life. I know some of you just got saved. I was talking to this brother. He just got saved here last year. That's a blessing. That's an encouragement, brother. I remember what it was like when I was first saved. I mean, just everything was new. Everything was fresh. It was great. And it was just encouraging to learn. Wow, look what I learned from the Word of God. Every day was a new experience. Every day was a joy. Have you lost that joy? You know, well, I know this stuff now. And, you know, you hear the preacher gets up and he says, well, turn to John 3:16. That's our text today. And you go, I know that verse. I know what he's going to say there. It doesn't matter. What matters is, you know what? God's going to give me something from His Word. Every day you come to church, you're going to get something from the Word of God, something that will help you. It may not be a whole bunch. It may be just one thing that will help you to be able to stand as a child of God, to be able to go to the next step, to get to that knee-deep Christian, to get to that loin-deep, to get into that water over your head, waters to swim in, the personal promises of God's Word to you. Maybe you're having trouble tithing. Maybe you're having trouble giving to missions. Maybe you're having trouble, you know, with many of the basic things, just being faithful to church, praying, having a prayer life. You find that's difficult, or getting into your Bibles on a regular basis. This new year, you know, a new opportunity to start fresh in your Bible. Say, I'm going to read through my Bible this year. And commit yourself to get through that Bible, to grow, to let the Bible get more into you. So you need to understand all these principles that we're talking about, each one of these stages. Everybody in this room is at one of those stages right now. Now the question is, where are you in the water of God's Word? See, that's where this all comes down, where the rubber meets the road. How deep into the Word of God are you? How much of the Word of God is in you? How much have you been changed and altered and corrected and fixed by the Word of God? So you need to understand here, you know, in being into the water of God's Word and you're swimming in that, that's commitment. Those guys, when Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, look, you're going to bow down and worship my God. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they said, nope, not doing that. Well, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Well, you can do that if you want, but I'm committed to God. See, that's not everybody's at that place. There may be folks in this room here that if we were asked tonight to, you know, deny Jesus Christ, or we're taking you out and put a bullet in your head. Are you committed? Well, here these guys were committed. It was their life. And when they said no, Nebuchadnezzar heat that baby up 7 times and chucks those guys into that fiery furnace. Why? Because they were committed to the God of Israel. Are you committed to the God of the Bible? So they're not going to bow down. They're not going to bend to that. They're not going to submit to that. They're just going to just do what God has said. So he gets mad, you know, and the veins are sticking out of the king's neck and his blood pressure went up to 200 over 110. And he's just, throw those guys in there. Get rid of them. And you know the story. What happens here, and it's not a story, it's a true fact. Stories have the idea of being false. So the Bible is true, and those guys are in there, and Nebuchadnezzar looks in there, and he says, wait, didn't we throw three guys in there? There's a fourth guy in there. It's the Son of God. Can I just tell you tonight, when you're committed, when you're swimming into the Word of God, God's with you. Through all those fiery trials of your life, through all those difficult times in your life, through all those hard times in your life when you just don't know what to do, you just do what God says. You know, and you understand that God will do the deliverance in your life. So where are you into the Word of God tonight? Where's the progression in your Christian life? Are you into the Word of God to your ankles? I'm going to challenge you tonight to go a little bit further. See, that's the preacher's job. When your pastor gets up here, every time he preaches, he's trying to bring you out a little bit further into the water. Come on, you can come out here. And he goes out a little further. Come on, you can come out here. And he's encouraging you to go a little deeper into the Word of God. And that's what God is doing to us here tonight. He's saying, if you're an ankle deep, come on out a little bit further. Come out to your knees. If you're knee deep, come on out a little further. Come on out to your loins. If you're in there, that to your loins, come on out. Try swimming a little bit. See how God is going to hold you up. And understand that God's Word will hold you up. So each one of these stages, as he goes out all these thousand cubits, and he gets out there, and he's being held up by the Word of God. Now, I'm sure that when he got out there to that 4,000 cubit mark, there's a hesitation on his part. When he says, come on, just trust the water, swim. I'm sure that he was saying, I don't know how to swim. I'm not sure if this will hold me up. I don't have a lot of confidence in that. And when he finally says, okay, and he just begins to, hey, you know what? Look at this. And he begins to do the side stroke, which is all I can do. You know, and he does the side, and he's swimming around, and he's understanding, hey, I'm not sinking. Hey, this water is holding me up. There's an encouragement level there to understand, you know what? You have finally gotten to the place in your life where the Word of God is really everything in your life. And you have that confidence and that trust, and you know that God's Word is true. And you've sensed it in every step of your life. You can pray. You can maybe even stand up and proclaim the Word of God. You can witness to people where before you just were afraid to. And each one of these stages that you go through will help you in your Christian life. Now, that's the progress of this thing. But let's talk a little bit now about the last part of this, and that's the purpose of the Word. Look with me, if you would, here now, at the last part of this. It says there in verse number 12, it says here, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat. Circle that word, meat. Whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to the months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Now here's the purpose. First thing is the meat. On both sides of this river here, we're told that this water that's flowing here, it says on both sides of here, the sanctuary, there are trees for meat. Meat is the strength of righteousness in your life. Keep your finger here. Just run over to Hebrews chapter 12 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sure you know this verse, but we need to see it with our eyeballs. Hebrews chapter 12. Meat. Sometimes we think meat is knowing how many hairs are on the big toe of the Antichrist. No, that's not meat. I want to get into the meat of the Word. I want to know about prophecy. That's not meat. Now look with me here at Hebrews chapter 12. And look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm sorry. I had 12 in my brain. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. Everybody there say amen. Amen. All right. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The basic things of God's Word. And are become such as have need of what? Milk. And not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. They've grown up. They've matured. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The meat of the Word of God is righteousness in your life. It's going to that place where you trust what God says, you implement what God says, you apply what God says in your life. So the meat is the strength to live that Christian life, that righteous life. So when you get involved in the Word of God, it'll strengthen you to live a more holy life. It'll strengthen you to have a more righteous life, not self-righteousness, not dependency upon yourself, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not spiritual weakness, not quitting, you know, just because things get a little bit tough, not being defeated so easily, not a life of failure, but totally linked to the Word of God and totally tied, you know, to the Word of God in your life. And that'd be a wonderful thing. So you get into the river here of God that God's provided, and all along the edge of the river are these trees for me, for you to strengthen your life and to live right for God. Would you get involved in the, you know, success stories and reading the success stories of men and women and young people in the Bible, and you see those success stories and what God did for them and through them and what God, you know, gloriously accomplished through their lives. You say, can that happen? Can God use me like that? He can. You got to get the idea that God will do that for you as well. So look at the next thing here. The Word of God says in verse number 12, it talks about healing. Medicine refers to healing. Healing. Do you know what the Word of God, if you get more of the Bible in you, it'll heal a lot of relationship problems. It might heal a relationship between a husband and a wife that are kind of just kind of fumbling around trying to find out how do we fix this marriage. When my wife and I, you know, were first married, we were married for 4 years before we got saved. And I told you last night, I was an idiot. You know, I just was. I was all about me, you know, but drinking with the guys and partying with the guys and leaving her home. As a 24-year-old young man, February 11, 1974, I trusted Christ as my Savior. When I got saved, she got saved just before I did, about 9 months before I did. And when that all, everything began to change. And then we got into the church and we started getting the Bible, and the Bible began to change her and change me. I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God healed our marriage. 43 years we've been married now. You know, and like I told you last night, I'm still, you know, God's still working on her. You say, you need the help, preacher. You're not kidding. But maybe your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your wife, or maybe your relationship with your children, or your relationship, you know, with your parents. Maybe it's kind of strained. Maybe it's kind of hard. I'm going to tell you something. You get into the Word of God, it'll start healing relationships. It'll start helping you in your relationships. You won't be as hard on them because you realize, you know what? I got the same problems. I got the same sins. I got the same faults in my life. Instead of fixing them, you just let the Word of God fix you. And change you and make you what you ought to be. It'll change your relationship maybe with a brother and sister in Christ. You know, a lot of churches, and you hear this, and it's true. And it may be going on right here in this church, and I don't know it. But somebody is sitting on this side is mad at somebody is sitting on that side. And when you pass down the center aisle, you won't even make eye contact with each other. Well, preacher, that's not true here. But if it's not, it will be. Because somebody's going to get upset with somebody. Because you're not into the Word of God, and you're going to be easily offended, and you're going to be easily hurt, and you're going to say, well, they said that about me, and I'll never forgive them. That's childish. That's immature. Look, at you stop and realize that God forgave you. You stop and realize that if God can forgive who's holy and pure, who's never sinned, can forgive all that we've done against Him, and He can forgive us, certainly you can forgive a brother or sister in Christ. Certainly you can forgive your mom and dad. Certainly you can forgive your children. Certainly you can forgive your husband and your wife. You'd be surprised what God will do here. As you go into the Word of God and you begin to pluck the fruit and the meat and the leaves and things start to happen and you begin to see God work in your life. Look at the third purpose here in the potential. Look at verse number 10. It says in verse number 10, it says, and it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even to En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. You see it? Exceeding many. So when you get into the Word of God, you're going to see a return back into your life. you begin to get into the Word of God, and you're going to see things start to come into your life. You're going to see God begin to bless your life. You're going to see the return. They're getting in here beyond the ankles, beyond the knees, beyond the loins, beyond the waters to swim in. And you go back to the brink of the river, and you cast your nets in, and you're going to begin to catch some fish. And it says, exceeding many. Why don't you fall down sometime on your knees and begin to talk to God and ask God and find out where there's a, you know, where there's a God that you can trust in and where you can put your faith in, and from that word, and you can begin to exercise your faith in all that He's doing in your life. And not your faith, but the object of your faith, realizing that God is the object of your faith. It's not your faith that's going to help you. It's the God of your faith. It's like you read about Bethel. You know, the house of God. Then it talks about El Bethel. That's the God of the house of God. You need to understand it's not just the religion of Christianity. It's the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that's your Savior. That's the one that you need to have that relationship. And you begin to have that relationship, you're going to see fruit come into your life. And it says exceeding many as you begin to pull that net up. You're going to see other people get saved because of your testimony, because of your faith, because of your pronouncing the Word of God to lost people and to young Christians and helping them to grow, to get deeper into the Word of God themselves. Now notice here, it says in verse number 8, it says that these waters go down where? Where do they go? They go into the desert. They go into the desert, the Dead Sea. You know, and you see that that text there in verse number 8 telling us, and so if you begin to apply the Word of God, it will give life to dead situations. You may say, you know what, my marriage is over, it's dead. I'm going to tell you something, you get in the Word of God, it'll bring life to that dead relationship. You stop and realize how God will bless you as you begin to implement the Word of God, and it will give life to what is just dead in your life. It, maybe tonight you're a Christian and you're just kind of dead inside. You just feel like, you know, I feel like worthless. I feel like I don't even care about church, and I don't care about the Bible, and I don't care about being around other Christians. You're dead. Maybe you're saved, but you're dead. You're just dying on the vine. I'm going to tell you, you get back into the Word of God and let it begin to refresh you. And let the Word of God begin to put life back into your being again. And the Word of God will give life to you. Precious life. Where there's death, God can put life. Now let me give you the last thing here and I'll quit. Look at verse number 11. It says in verse number 11, this is the key here that you've got to grab a hold of before we finish. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Do you realize what makes a miry place? A miry place is so much earth and so much water, and it makes mud. Just so worldly, earthy, fleshy, carnal. But you get a little bit of the Bible in there, your life is going to be like this miry place. It's just a muddy place. Did you ever try to walk in mud? You know, you're trying to just pull your shoes off as you're trying to walk, and you're pulling your boots off. I had that happen. I was doing an addition on my house like 15 years ago, and we had all this water coming in the back. And we found boots later on because it was this clay. And the water came in from the neighbors, and it made all this mud in this miry place. And it was just, you couldn't walk in it. And it just kind of held you back. Do you realize that's what he's talking about here, this miry place? It's a swampy place. It's a place full of polywogs and cattails, and nothing's really growing there. It's just useless space. Half earth, half water. I don't want to offend you here tonight. That's not my intent. But there may be folks in this church here tonight whose life is a swamp. It's a miry place. You got just enough world in you, and you're enjoying the pleasures of this world, and you're having a good time in the world. And then when you come to church, then you're with the Christians, and then, you know, you got a little bit of the water, and you're trying to live in this miry place. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're trying to live in the world, trying to live in Christianity. You can't live there. It's a miry place, and you're never going to progress. You're never going to grow as a Christian. And pretty soon you just get tired of walking in the mud. walking around the mud. So finally, you just say, you know what? I think I'll just stay in the mud, like the prodigal. But if you're wise, you'll say, you know what? I'm getting out of the miry place. And I'm going to go over into the deeper waters here. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time, and I'm going to let the Word of God refresh my heart and change my thinking and begin to affect my life, where I'll begin to grow and be prosperous for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is tonight, how far into the Word of God are you? Are you an ankle-deep Christian? Okay, if you're newly saved, that's okay to be there. Don't stay there. Come on out a little deeper, sir. Come on out a little deeper, ma'am. Get in up to your knees. If you're in up to your knees, come on out a little deeper. Get up to your loins. Get some strength in you, spiritual strength. But you don't have to run to the preacher. You don't have to run to a brother. And that's fine to do that. I'm not saying don't do that. But you know what? You can go to the Word of God and you can be strengthened by God's Word. Maybe get out to the place where you're just going to let go of you, not rely on your flesh. You're just going to trust the water of God's Word to hold you up. You'll see growth in your life. You'll see some prosperity. You'll see some increase in your life. You'll see some fruit in your life. Would you stand together with me here tonight? Just bow your heads, if you would, for a moment. And let me just ask you tonight to respond to the message tonight by just saying to God, you know what, God, I'm in the water, but I need to get in a little deeper.